Reflection, Adventist Reflection.
This is Adventist Reflections, an interpersonal commentary where present biblical truth meets psychological reasoning. Now, to discuss character building ideas, here is your host, Dr. Dean.
Some of you know me, some of you might not know me. I have been here a couple of times. My name is Daniel. You can call me Dan. Now, I'm originally from Mexico. Don't take that against me. I don't come from Victoria. I come from the real Mexico.
And I come real Scandinavia.
There you go. The Lord is telling us something here. He's telling us that it doesn't matter where you're coming from, there is always faithful people, and that is a blessing. I come from Rockhampton, live in Rockhampton. I've been living in Rockhampton with my family, who today is missing because they're in Brisbane, for about 4 years. What I do, you ask for what I do, I work in a hospital, and we leave it at that. If you really want to know what I do in a hospital, we can talk outside. And I think that will be it. I have been blessed and privileged to lead the church in Rockhampton for a while when we didn't have a pastor. I personally believe we have been blessed with the pastor that we have received. He's a faithful, godly man, and that is a blessing. Now, as I thought of what am I going to talk about today, as you know, it's the last Sabbath of this year. And so it's a cliche almost to share something that has to do with the last Sabbath of the year, as if we have to be prepared for the new year. And as I was doing my personal devotions, something came to me, a quote by Sister White, that I would like to share with you. Now I'm going to get my clicker, so I kind of start clicking this along. Because this is the quote that came to me. I have entitled the sermon, if you wanted to know, Last Year's Bones, New Year's Flesh. Last year's bones, new year's flesh. Now, the quote was this: a revival of true godliness amongst us is the greatest and the most urgent of all of our needs. To seek this should be our first work. And so as I thought, well, what am I going to say? I thought, it has to be about this. It has to be about the first work that we have to seek as the year comes along. Now today I would like to share with you four Bible truths. Only four, nothing else. The first one is, your efforts in prayer will start that revival in you. Your efforts in prayer will start that revival in you. Number two, revival makes the devil and his hosts to tremble. Revival make the devil and his hosts to shake. Number three, revival unites and conquers. A revival in the church will provide a unity and will provide a sense of conquering. And number four, revival can be yours today, not tomorrow. Revival can be yours today. And so as I think of this and as we are going to start studying these propositions, do not let me to lie to you. Allow us to open the scriptures to find out these truths. But before we do that, I would like to kindly invite you to search the Lord in prayer. We already pray, but I need more prayer. We need prayer. So I'm going to kneel down and we'll seek the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful and thankful for the miracle of life, for the miracle of the opportunity to freely gather in this place of worship. Father, we praise your name for what you have done for us. And we praise your name because we know that you are dwelling amongst us. Father, we invite that your Holy Spirit remain in this place, talking to our hearts, talking to our minds, that when we get out of here, we might not be the same. Father, we request that an hedge around us be we built up, one that is held by angels that excel in might and strength, that nothing that doesn't belong before your presence may be here today. Father, we pray this because we need you and we need your protection. All of this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Open your Bibles in the book of Ezekiel. This is something that most of us, if you have raised as a Seventh-day Adventist, at least you will have heard this message once. If you have never heard the message, that is okay. Today is your opportunity to hear it. You might hear it a bit differently to what you usually might have in the past. But the message remains the same. It's a message of revival. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through to 10. And I read from the New King James Version. That's Ezekiel. The chapter is 37, and I will read from verses 1 through to 10. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews in you, and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, Prophesy. To the breath prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from thee four winds, O breath, and breathe on this slain, and they might live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood up upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. I don't know what you think, but if you like to watch movies, I had left that habit a long time ago, but if you still do, this is a good sci-fi experience. There you have dry bones in the valley of the shadow of death. And the Lord comes upon these men called Ezekiel, and he says, you have to call them because they can live. Before that happened, the Lord said, do you think they can live? And he said, I don't know, but you know, Lord. Okay, we'll call them up. And so he did. And they came up. And ligaments, and tendons, and every single other thing that compounds your body and mind started to refresh. And they became alive. Did they become alive? No, they didn't. I'm just checking if you're listening. They didn't. The breath of life came after. And then they became alive. Beloved, this is a prophecy of revival. This is a prophecy where the Lord calls you and I to revive and to reform the body that we have that has been dead for so long. Maybe you have been dead and sitting here in church dead. You might be thinking, how can it be so? I've been walking here every Sabbath. That is a personal question for yourself. Lord, am I alive in your sight? A true revival needs to occur in a church. It needs to happen at home. It needs to happen in our hearts. And a true revival will reflect at school, at work, in town, in the shops, in our neighborhood, wherever we might go. People will see what the Lord did for you, because the Lord says, prophesy that the bones may become alive, that they might know that I did this. I would like to share with you three aspects, because today salvation has come. Today salvation has been offered to you. Open with me 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. Very well-known verse. You might not know it, that's okay. We'll read it. And I'm hoping it will bring the hope that he has brought to me every time that I open that scripture verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, when is the acceptable time? Behold, now. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Salvation has come today. Salvation has come now. The question is, are you going to be part of the event that will allow those dry bones who hear the call of the Lord to be refreshed? Are you going to allow the Lord to revive your dry, dense, sin-filled bones? The word revive in Spanish is reviviré. Reviviré means I will live again. Revival, it's divided into two words. Revivir. What do you think re means? Again. Thank you, Leah. Exactly. Again. Re means again. And vivir means to live, to regain consciousness. When we are talking about a revival, brothers and sisters, we are talking that we were perhaps at one point in time, maybe when these years started, you make a good decision, Lord, I'm going to follow you fully. And you were alive, but for some reason, something happened. And maybe, only maybe, you died. Whatever might have happened throughout the year, whether you lost a job, whether someone left you, whether you have economical losses, whether you have some health struggle, the Lord calls you. It doesn't matter what happened. I want to put life in you, life that exceeds anything that you might have lost. There are three aspects that I would like to share with you that are very intrinsic, are very related to this revival. And we find them in Ezekiel chapter 37. So don't lose sight of that Ezekiel chapter. Ezekiel chapter 37, and I'm going to read from verse 7. It says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was what? There was noise. And suddenly a shaking. Some versions say rattling. As a matter of fact, my version says rattling. King James Version says, there was a shaking, and the bones came together, bone unto bone. I remember, I must have been about an 8 year old, and I grew up in a city. But as you know, even in the cities, you can have animals and pets. And we, at some point in time, for some reason, my parents decided to bring a lot of chicken. And so we had black chicken, and we have red-looking chicken. The black ones were mine, the red ones were my brother's. So we knew who was who in the zoo. For whatever reason, my chicken seemed to be dying quicker than his. I'm younger too. Maybe there is a relationship with that. But I remember one of my little chooks, they were very little, fell from about 6 feet high. Now, if you know what little chooks look like, and you know what they behave like, you will know that they can't fly at that age. So when he fell about 6 feet high, he fell and he couldn't help himself but to receive the full impact of the fall. Now, I don't know if there's any farmers in here. Now, I don't know if this is going to make any sense. Look, I haven't figured it out. I'm a scientist in terms of behavior and the mind. But I have never found myself so curious. Maybe after today I will go back home and find out what are the ins and outs of this. But the theory has it that if a chicken is almost dying, you can revive them by doing something. And that's what my father said. Now, I believe that my father didn't trick me by exchanging the chicken that was almost dying with one alive, because I counted them. And so he grabbed this little chicken that was almost dying. We don't know. He looked almost dying. He put it on the ground on the pavement. And he put a bucket. He put it upside down on top of the chicken. He grabbed a stick and he started to bang it loudly. I have no idea what that did. But what I tell you is, when that bucket was removed, that chicken was walking and almost running around. What happened there? I have no idea. Maybe my mom was in the background praying, let this chicken, you know, this poor little child is crying so much. He'll feel guilty for what happened. But that chicken was alive. I always ask my father, how does that work? He didn't tell me the answer. He said, I don't know, my father used to do that and my great-grandfather used to do that, so we do that. Okay, well, it's alive, that's fine. I'm happy with that. Okay, the only problem was that every time we saw a little sleeping chook, he wasn't dead or dying, but we would put it back in and we would bang it. And they probably were deaf by then. That was a long time ago. What Scripture tells us in Ezekiel 37, chapter 7, is that for revival to occur, there is three things first. There are three aspects. Number one, there has to be noise. Now, you have your Bibles. I would like you to help me. We'll find all these three verses, Psalm 5:3, Psalm 55:17, and Psalm 66:19. Let's go to Psalm chapter 5 and verse 3. Now, what we will find in Psalm chapter 5, verse 3, is that the same word utilized for noise is utilized in these verses at some point in time. And it's translated sometimes differently. Psalm chapter 5, verse 3 says, "My voice you shall hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up." Now, there is two options there as to what noise might be also translated as. Let's go and see if we can go to Psalm chapter 55 and verse 17. It might be a bit clearer. "Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Any similarities between this one and the previous? Nothing. You're not following. I hear some mumbling there. Just a bit louder. Voice. It's similar. Voice. Let's go to the last one. Psalm 66. It's probably a turn of a page in mine. Is Psalm 66, verse 19. "But certainly God has heard me. He has attended the voice of my prayer." Beloved, in order to have revival, in order for your dry, sin-filled bones to refresh, we must pray. We must spend morning, afternoon, and evening in prayer. It is no rocket science then that you remember I read to you that quote from Sister Wada. She says that a true revival, a revival of godliness amongst us, is the greatest and the most urgent need today. She was inspired to say something else. Straight away she mentioned this. I'll show it to you. She says, "There must be an earnest effort to obtain the blessing of the Lord, not because he doesn't want to give it to you, but because we are unprepared to receive it. It is our work by confession, by humiliation, by repentance, by earnest prayer to fulfill the conditions upon which God has promised to grant you and I his blessing." And the punchline, a revival need to be expected only. It doesn't say maybe. It doesn't say sometimes. A revival needs to be expected only and only in answer to prayer. So if you and I are not praying today, "Lord, renew my heart," our bones will continue dry. Aspect number two, we must pray. Aspect number two, we have it in Ezekiel 37:7. Some verses, New King James says there is some rattling. King James says there is a shaking. Now, I know of those good Seventh-day Adventists, those of you who have been sitting in these pews for years, will know that the shaking usually is referred as to something that will happen at the end of times. Now, I would like to propose that that is true, but I would like to propose that there is something else that happens as well. Now, there is Ezekiel chapter 26, and because I want to save some time, because I don't want to hold you here, and I know that there is some food out there. Some of you are waiting for that. Those Bible scholars present, Now, to be a Bible scholar, all you have to do is study your Bible. And I'm sure there is more than one here. Those of you who are Bible scholars, when the Bible refers in Ezekiel 26, 27, 28, it's the few chapters of the king of Tyrus, who is it referring about? Who is he talking about? Who is the king of Tyrus ultimately? Satan. Thank you, Doug. Excellent. If you were to go a few verses, chapters later, we'll find out that he's talking about Satan. So the message ultimately touches him. And I want you to see what happens when the shaking happens. Let's go to Ezekiel. If you're already there, you bear with me because I am not. Ezekiel chapter 26. I'll read from the King James. 26 verse 10. By reason of the abundance of his horses, the dust shall cover thee. Thy walls shall shake at the noise of the horsemen, and of the wheels, and of the chariots, when we shall enter into the gates, as men enter into a city wherein is made a breach. If you go to verse 15, thus says the Lord God of Tyre, shall not the earth shake at the sound of thy fall, when the wounded cry, when the slaughter is made in the midst of thee? Beloved, I would like to propose to you something. As we pray, the devil shakes. He doesn't want you to get flesh. He doesn't want you to get tendons. He doesn't want you to get ligaments. He doesn't want you to be filled with blood that is given by Jesus Christ. Many years ago, I used to be a workplace health and safety inspector. Now, if you're a construction or a builder, you probably hate some of those. I used to be one of them. One of those that will come, check your building site. Do you have your JSA? Do you have your safety plan, risk assessments? If you don't, I will write a notice of improvement, or I will write a notice of prohibition, and I will shut down your plant or machinery if it wasn't safe enough. That was many years ago, so I do something different now. But I remember once, there was an incident when someone got electrocuted in a place that shall remain unnamed. And as part of the investigation, you had to come, you had to take pictures, you had to take witness statements, you had to write in your notebook like a police. You had to write everything you saw because these cases go to court. I mean, someone just died, and it was a fault at work. The only problem with this case was that the person who got electrocuted about 40 to 50 meters high, give and take. For what I know, it could have been 100. It was very high. There were silos that were quite high, and you had to go through this building and through these structures. And they were not the best of all, at least not from my opinion. And as we were climbing higher and higher, I could see lower and lower how smaller and smaller my car was looking. And because the structures were not the safest, there were more problems in that workplace than just that guy being electrocuted. The stairs were shaking a bit. As we came to the place, I took the pictures, I talked to the workers, I saw the problem, the electrical problem, whatever that was. I had to glance over from the place where he electrocuted and he fell over. The place, as I explained to you, was a bit shaky. The structure, it was metal structures, but the ladders were very shaky. There was one more thing that was shaking, and that was my legs. And I don't know if you ever have experienced that. Maybe you haven't had that fear. There is something in your brain. There is something called the autonomous system that allows you to do things that you don't want to happen. Your heart beats, and you don't tell him heartbeat. It just doesn't. You breathe and you consciously kind of stop breathing, but when you're sleeping, you're not doing anything. It just happens. And I tell you that my autonomous system kicked in so much that my legs were literally shaking. I was thinking, I need to get out of here. I have a wife, I have children, I don't want to die. So I did as much as I could, as quick as I could, and then I went and I took to whoever I had to talk to so they came back to review their thing because it was serious stuff. But one thing happened. The higher I went, the more I shook. The higher we go to God, the more Satan shakes. Let me prove it to you. Spirit of prophecy. Messages to young people. She says, Satan knows better than God's people, the power that they can have over him when their strength is in Christ. Our Savior listens to earnest prayer of faith, and he sends a reinforcement of those angels that excel in strength to deliver him. Satan cannot endure to have his power rival appealed to For he fears and he trembles. He shakes before his strength and majesty at the sound of your prayer and mine. If faithful and humbling, Satan's whole host will shake. They will tremble. The higher you go, the more he will shake. Satan doesn't want you to get out of here today revived. Satan wants you to get out of here dead. Factor number three. Ezekiel 37:7 says that the bones came together, bone to his bone. Now, if you were to go a little bit farther, you will find that in Ezekiel 37, verse 11, it says that these bones, the same bones that I'm talking about, are the house of Israel. These bones are people. These bones are you and I. And let us find out what you and I are meant to be like. What is he talking about? What's going to happen when we pray, when we get revived, when we pray and Satan trembles, something will happen. Bones and bones will come together and they will unite. Come with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 27. For as the body is one, it has many members, but all members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is whom? So also is Christ. Verse 27. Now you are one body in Christ and members individually. The scripture tells us that as we unite in prayer, as we revive, Satan and his host will shake because he knows that together, under the headship of Christ, an army will stand up. An army that will be unstoppable. An army that will finish the work that you and I have been waiting for. Go back to Ezekiel 37:10. We already read it. It says, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them. You pray, the devil shakes, we unite, and the Holy Spirit takes over. And they leave. And they stood up on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Go to verse 14 with me. And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it, and perform it, saith the Lord. As we pray, as the devil shakens, as we unite, as the Holy Spirit takes over and revives our dead bones into live, flesh-filled bones, we will conquer where we are. You don't have to go to the Amazon to do that job. You don't have to go to Mexico to preach to them. There is already people preaching there. We have to preach in Yepun, that people may know that he refleshed your dry, dead bones. Sister White says, there should be amongst us an army of people who are prepared to open the scriptures to many who are perishing in their sin. Let a spiritual-minded men and women, and I would like to add, and children, take hold of this work wherever they are. In bracket, that's my own bracket, in your own land. As they find opportunity, let them pray for those whom they labor. All classes are to be reached. Two or three met together and plead with God for the salvation of some special one, and then still for another one, is one of the things that will happen when we have been revived. Let small companies assemble to study the Bible. Have a season of prayer that they might be strengthened and enlightened and sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Christ will come into your hearts by this means only that you can maintain your integrity. Isaiah 17, talking of revival. 17 verses 7 and 8. At that day shall a man look to his maker, and his eye shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. And he shall not look to the altars, the work of his hands, neither shall respect that which his fingers have made, either the groves or the images. Brothers and sisters, as we turn away from the myself focus and go back to the God cycling focus, we will be revived. The Lord tells us through Isaiah that as we turn away from the garden, as we turn away from washing and polishing the car 2 hours, as we turn away from the TV news, and we turn back to prayer, to listening to the word of God, we will live. And your life will never be the same, because you won't be in the valley of the death bones. You will be so alive that you might call other bones that are dried up to come to life because of the power that is in you through the Holy Spirit. Let our church members take up such work where they are. Let all unite in Yipun in sustaining the work of God that calls for self-denial and for cross-bearing. Beloved, salvation is today. I would like to invite you not to wait to the 31st of December. I would like to invite you to make a decision today. For the Lord clearly says that salvation is offered for you today. And your bones that might have been dry throughout the year, that perhaps started very strong, but they died, can be revived. Are you ready to take upon such duty? Are you ready to take upon such offer? Do you want to leave this place today feeling the same way you were feeling? And it is not a feeling, but rather a knowledge. But our thoughts and our emotions are connected. Are you willing to leave these doors today thinking the same way you were thinking? It's just another year. I will have my goals. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to gain muscle. I'm going to whatever you want to do. Or are you going to make a decision today that you might say, I already have my goal because I have spent 5-6 days with a new flesh. Because I pray. Because the devil shook. Because I am witnessing with brothers and sisters of the Yipun Seventh-day Adventist Church telling our neighbors about how we were dead and now we are alive. Patras and Prophet says that repentance is the first step to take upon this revival. Turn away from your sin. If there is anything that you know is holding you back, if you think of anything that is holding you back from the love and the revival that God is offering to you, if there is anything that is an obstacle for you to accept Jesus today, do not let your mind, do not let your feeling, do not let the devil rob you from the gift of salvation. For the Father loves you deeply. For the Son loves you deeply. For the Holy Spirit loves you so deeply that He is calling you today. Because the efforts that you put in prayer won't come back void. Because the decisions that you make today, the decisions that you make today will have an impact in who you are after you leave these doors. I would like to invite my friends, Ben and Leah, to sing a special song. And I would like you to listen to the words of this song. Because the Father loves you so much, He wants you to make a decision today that your bones, how they came before you came here, may not go out the same, but they be refleshed.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that left Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know in all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
Friends, His wounds in His blood has paid the ransom for you and I. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter how hard the year has been. The Lord offers you, because He loves you deeply, to be revived, revitalized, re-energized, that people around you might see what He has done for you. If it is your desire today to be revived, to be refreshed, I would like to invite you to stand up as we close today in prayer. Gracious Father, we are thankful, we are humbled, we stand here in awe from knowing that You have paid the price that we needed to pay ourselves, that You loved us so deeply that through the wounds of Your Son, Jesus Christ, through His blood, we can have now the gift of salvation. Father, we thank You for the promise that if we are to pray day and night, our bones that have no energy, our bones that are decayed, our bones that are burnt out, will be revived, will be refreshed, will be a true witness for You. Father, we thank You so much for what You have done for us so far. We thank You so much for what You are doing for us right now. And we thank You and we humble ourselves before You for what You're about to do in our lives. And Father, there are people here making decisions for You. And if anybody here is calling in their hearts, Lord, I want that. I want to be revived. Father, I pray that a double portion of Your Holy Spirit may be poured upon them. And for all of us here, as we walk out of this place, we pray that it may be You who continues to talk to our hearts, to not put on hold that decision any longer, to make the decision to come from death to life. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your grace. And we thank You for all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Remember to subscribe to this podcast, like it, share it, hashtag it, comment, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and Tumblr as Adventist Reflections. God bless you.